I think Ten Hag's talent identification is a little bit suspect. I really do.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Right, and said, let's do this. Welcome to the Transfer Window Show, everyone. I'm James, and this is Clayton.
Yeah, man.
Really? What are you doing? Clayton's holding up a phone. Like, you're trying to play something.
Oh, can you not hear it?
No, mate.
Oh, for fuck's sake. It's the Champions League anthem.
Right. I'm very pleased for you.
Just clip that in.
No, I won't.
Ready to find out who we're going to dismantle tonight?
I'm gonna drop in the Carabao Cup music that there isn't one, but I'll put it in anyway. Right, we're doing transfers today. It is the timestamp. It's nearly 3 o'clock on Thursday, August the 31st. Obviously, the transfer window for Premier League clubs in terms of incomings closes, I believe, at 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Yes, an FPL deadline and an actual transfer window deadline on the same mother trucking day. Sounds like hell on earth to me. But anyway, let's do it. Firstly, I want to start, Clayton, by doing some party poppers and stuff. Wolves have bought a football club.
I know. Yeah,
yeah, buzzing. Mate. Yeah, mate. Wolves what? Wolves have bought a footballer. Is he any good?
Do we know any? I have no idea. Never heard of him until you text me.
Enzo Gonzalez is a Wolverhampton player, Paraguayan winger, very left-footed, having had a little look at him. He reminded me when I looked at some bits of him. It reminded me of the first time I saw Almiron. This little kind of fucking little road runner just wants to run with the thing all the time and looks like he works hard and stuff.
He's proper young, right? I'm sure I've read he's like 18 or something.
Not convinced to be going in as a first team player. They've also, as in an immediate anyway, they've also had a bid turned down for Harrison Reed of Fulham. Okay.
Didn't know that.
We think he's around about 4 million.
Wow.
Which you might as well these days say just, do you want to just give us your player? Because what's 4 million to anyone these days?
Yeah, that's not great. I like Reed as a player, though. I think he's a nice little tidy footballer.
No, Harrison Reed. Well, I'm surprised he didn't start against you, but I think they've shifted more towards a 4-3-3, and therefore it looks like Lukic is probably going to get favouritism now, and he thinks he'll start regularly at Wolves. But I'm not convinced that's the case, by the way, with Lamina and Gomez in there if they stick with a 4-4-2. So it's one of them that's a strange one.
Wolves have got someone in.
Anyway, they've got someone in, and it sounds like they're probably going to do some more business. We'll come back on to, obviously, Matias Nunes and what's happening there in a second. But I guess Mo Salah's kind of big headline at the moment. Any chance this happens, in your opinion?
I think he's going, I think it's going to happen.
Really, now?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's too much, I don't know, like, it's too much smoke without fire. And that amount of money, like, the rumours are, what, 118 mil, right?
Liverpool get that money next year, won't they?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know, he's 31. Like, I'm not saying it's the classic, I'll post 30 cash in on anyone, but just, I don't know, it's an area, it sounds mental to say this because you can't really replace Mo Salah, but it's an area that they're stacked. And I've just got this weird thing where I can see them accepting what is a pretty mad offer. I'm not convinced they'll get the same offer next summer, for example.
It doesn't have to be the same. You know, he was 80, 90 next year. He's still getting good money, aren't you? For what, 32-year-old next year? The Saudis aren't going to not come back with the cash for Mo. We know that.
Part of me is influenced by that. Is he Dutch or Norwegian, that Jan guy? The journalist, you told me how to pronounce his name and I can't remember.
I did tell you how to pronounce his name. Go on, do it.
Jan Arge Ford something.
You really are the ideal replacement for Serge. Jan Arge Fjortov.
Him. Didn't he tweet like, wouldn't be surprised to see Salah leave this week or something. So I think I'm influenced by what's doing the rounds in journalism as well, to be fair.
But I'm more influenced by Ornstein saying shit, Romano's saying shit, Joyce is very well connected.
But that's what
Liverpool
I mean. Ornstein's going
to
come out
shit,
of nowhere
nothing.
With the bomb. He's going to come out of nowhere. Just
if Ornstein comes out with a bomb, then it's on, isn't it? But
yeah. So you don't think he's going, no?
No. No, I think it feels like him going out there is probably an inevitability.
Yeah, just not
in his career.
On the last day of the window.
Nah. And look at what we got for Kane with a year left on his contract, right?
Yeah, true.
And what Salah would be worth to that area of the world in
given
terms
the
of
culture
getting in there
and
yeah. Exactly. So
yeah, true.
It's not they're not gonna come back, oh yeah, he's only 1 year left on your contract, we're only gonna give you 50 or something. Like the bullshit. No. So I think if this had all been talked about a lot in July, then maybe.
Yeah.
But it's fact it's so late in the window.
Why do you think they've come in so late?
Why are they doing a lot of things? So...
I know, but like this one in particular feels like if you're going to go for someone like him, you just get it done.
They've probably been given some incentive to think it's possible, right. Whether that's via an agent, an intermediary or something to make them think that it's possible. And we don't even factually know that a bid's even gone in, right?
No, true.
It's just speculation. And I see people saying like, oh, Salah hasn't come out and said anything. Like he wants to stay or he doesn't want to go. What's he going to do that for? He ain't going to come out and say anything. So
if
that like, Klopp's not going to come out and say anything.
No. If he was to go, what impact do you think that has on Liverpool's season? Because for context, everyone was saying, well, it was divided on you guys, right? Some people were like, oh, Spurs are fucked without Kane. And I was in the Campbells. I think you'll be fine. What do you think?
I've seen Richarlison up front for four games and
just we'll more like the overall team, right?
We'll be fine. Yeah. As would Liverpool be. I did a little piece for the Advance yesterday, and even suggested that maybe you know having someone like Szoboszlai in front of him,
yeah,
like would maybe really help out rather than having Mo Salah in front of him. That's not saying Mo Salah doesn't work hard or anything. We don't want Mo Salah ending up defending in your final third and stuff, do you? He's your best attacking player, so you'd move with what you've got. Szoboszlai could cover out there. They could play Jota out there. Nunes could, not Nunes. We could actually. Diaz could play that side at a push as well. So it's not like it almost wouldn't be as bad from an on pitch perspective now as Tottenham losing Kane. I don't think the drop down from Kane to Richarlison is bigger than what Salah to others would be. And of course, none of them are going to replicate Salah's goals. Or assist numbers or anything like that, but you play a little bit differently. And I wouldn't look at it and go, oh my God, if Salah leaves Liverpool, they can't finish top four. Like it might even in a weird way, like with Kane, it might even help a little bit.
I know what you mean.
From a team perspective. So look, I'm not saying Liverpool should sell, and I don't think they will anyway. And I think they'll get the money next year if that's the route that it goes down.
FPL wise, do you think? Yeah, obviously, you spoke about on one of the pods captaincy and stuff. So you think it just fucks the game then if he does go?
But FPL?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disastrous.
Yeah. See, I would quite welcome the kind of extra money. Like, I think captaincy would be fucked, which it already is anyway. But you kind of look at the extra money, like, I think you'd get different people picking different midfields and stuff. But I think you'd see a bit more variety.
Maybe, but then Salah's not exactly template at the moment either, is he?
True, yeah.
It's more the little things that I spoke to the Advance yesterday, saying like my plan might be to bin Haaland.
I think I heard you, yeah.
Around game week 8 when they go to your place, saying right, I'm going to take this on for like 6-7 weeks in a row, and if Salah's not available, it's like what's the point?
There's
no point in doing that sort of shit. Oh, if I want Liverpool, okay, well I'll get Jota, I'll get Nunes, I'll get Diaz, I'll get whatever I want, and it's all affordable instead. So, any case, that's interesting. I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Having spoken to you about it, I think I'm changing my mind.
It's worth saying, obviously, they can still buy players up till the 20th. Of September. It's not to say they don't come from that perspective. It's probably a little bit different to others. Like, say, when the Russians had that money briefly, like Angie were going mad, weren't they? We're buying like Roberto Carlos and Samuel and stuff like that. And it was the same thing. Their window was open like a week later, but it wasn't of astronomical proportions.
No.
So if they did come down, I heard 110 or 120 mentioned this morning, and that wouldn't be enough to tempt Liverpool. And I understand that. But it might be that in a week's time it's 150 or something. And then is like a real conversation to have, granted.
For what it's worth, I know we said that they've got the depth and stuff. I don't think any of the people we said are like natural right wingers. So I do think they'd need to get someone.
Such thinks that if it went through quickly enough, Liverpool would just throw the money at West Ham.
For Bowen, really?
Yeah.
Wow. NJR, they've been linked with him before, right?
In terms of the profile.
Yeah, it fits. It does fit. That's an interesting shout.
I don't see that either, though.
No.
Liverpool are being strongly linked. I think a more realistic transfer involving them at the moment is Ryan Gravenberch from Bayern Munich.
Football manager legend.
Is he? Is he football? Mate,
absolute gem on that game, yeah.
Okay,
I used to always sign him.
Must be an absolute superstar.
Of
there,
course, but, yeah.
I haven't seen huge amounts of him in his career, but I was reading something interesting about him last week from a journalist out in Germany who thought that actually rather than moving from Bayern to another big club, he would be better off going and re-finding himself at a club a little bit lower down where he was going to be like the main man again and stuff, because it feels like he's lost his way a little bit and stuff.
Okay.
When you watch bits of him, he reminds me a little bit of like a gangly Ndombele.
Okay.
A little bit. Works way harder because I mean everybody works harder than Ndombele. So I'm not that association. Same I'm a lazy. Just
though, yeah.
Just the way he receives the ball and he's able to pivot on the turn.
Technically
and stuff.
Good and yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He has shades of that in him, but supposedly that it's just not really worked out for him at Bayern.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that he even go straight into the Liverpool team. It doesn't feel like the number six answer as per se.
Nowhere near. Like he's not a six at all. And I don't know if the plan is to mold him into that, but from the little I've seen, and like I know I joke about Football Manager, but like I used to find it quite helpful to help build an idea on style of players and stuff. Like their database is actually pretty solid. But yeah, he's not a six at all. And I'm with you. I don't think he goes straight into the team at all. And I'd argue it's not really a profile I think they need, personally. But yeah, I don't know, especially with like the recruitment of McAllister, Szoboszlai. Yeah, I think he's a great player and a really good depth option, but don't think he goes straight in at all. And I think they still need another six as well as Endo, personally.
The name that's been mentioned a little bit, not widely reported this morning, is a player we spoke about a few weeks ago, Ibrahim Sangare.
They've been linked to him this morning.
Of PSV, who supposedly Forest are still wanting to get done, but might be dependent on a few other things. Forest sound like they're going to be very busy over the next 24 hours or so. That profile might be a better fit, but I don't know if it'd be good enough.
No.
Same thing.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how he gets on, though, because, very highly rated, but like you said, he kind of lost his way a bit at Bayern. Could be the right environment.
Matías Núñez.
Yeah. What a fucking signing that is.
Is it? What do we think of this?
In what sense? Like, I just think it's another talented player going there that bolsters their already ridiculous squad.
Have you seen anything the last year that would suggest to you, from what you've seen of him playing at Wolves, that he goes into the Manchester City team?
See, this is the thing. I'm not going to lie, no. But it's more based on potential and like things you've been told and like seen in glimpses, but I've not really seen it consistently at Wolves. But it's one of those, if you take someone's raw attributes and talent and put them in the environment where you're surrounded by the best in the world, you'd imagine he'd flourish. I find it hard to imagine someone of his talent.
I had a close look at him when Wolves signed him this time last year. They played us game with three, made his debut at our place, and I had a look at him before that. And people were comparing him to Bruno Fernandes.
I remember his debut against you. He did well.
Yeah, he did play well on his debut, which I thought was a little bit of a lazy narrative, Portuguese, Sporting Lisbon coming from the same place. But when I watched bits of him, I thought, I can see a bit of Bruno Fernandes in there. Now, I definitely didn't see any Bruno Fernandes in a Wolves shirt. Nothing at all. Guardiola has been quoted, and I've seen a clip that's been going around a lot this week of him saying about Matías Núñez in the past. Matías Núñez is one of the best midfielders in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's obviously a player he's been watching and had an eye on for a long time. There was these weird links, even in January, sort of like he was going to go on to Liverpool, maybe. Liverpool wanting to buy him in the first place. It's almost like the big clubs had let him go to Wolves and they knew they were that someone was going to act on this quite quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure where that fits in, and I'm not sure what he's going to be.
Yeah, well, I think he'll play.
I'm not sure what he's going to be for.
I think him and Kovacic will share minutes quite a lot. I think if I'm looking at his profile and what I think his profile is and what his attributes are, I'm imagining him very similar to Kovacic in terms of receiving in tight spaces, progressing the ball up the pitch, like the way he carries it and stuff. I'm just I don't know. I think he's got the attributes that under a coach like Guardiola and their system, he'll thrive, to be honest. But that's based a lot on, that's a lot of assumptions because I've not really seen it at Wolves sort of thing. So, yeah.
It is. No, just being honest, it's okay to say what we'd heard was is going to be amazing. What we've seen so far doesn't suggest it, but we're also not sitting here and saying, this is a terrible signing. What are City doing? We know something's there.
Maybe also, because it's been a bit of a crap.
We're more acceptable to it. I don't know.
Yeah, but also the other caveat is at Wolves, he never really had consistent style of play, managers that were chopping and changing.
Or even a consistent position, I'd argue, as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think I've said before, I believe the environment dictates performance so much. So it's one of those that could get the best out of him.
We think in a separate deal, because these all have to be separate these days for FFP purposes and amortization and that shit. Tommy Doyle's going the other way. He was on loan at Sheffield United last year and ended up playing a deeper position in a midfield three. Again, he's not going to ask Lamina, and it's another one that Harrison Reed might want to have a second look at himself and ask, is he actually going to go there and get in that team? Because suddenly it's Lamina, Gomez, Reed and Doyle
competing
in
there.
Do you
know much about him? I've only looked at like how many appearances he made at Cardiff and Sheffield United. That was it, really. Couldn't really tell you anything in terms of style of play or anything.
No, Johnny, when I spoke to him in the summer, didn't think he would stay at City.
Okay.
So isn't surprised. McAtee was more one, again, didn't particularly think would come through and make it, but could foresee staying around potentially because maybe they might be short on numbers this year. Doyle, he was of the opinion, probably wasn't good enough to play for City. It doesn't mean he's not going to be good enough to play for Wolves, by the way. And it's a cheap deal. It's about $4.5 million or something. One City Academy player is on the move, though, we think.
Mate, yeah.
Cole Palmer, come left field from absolutely fucking nowhere.
What was your instant reaction to that when you saw it? Like, not now. What was your first thing when you saw the here we go?
It's Chelsea. It's literally my reaction. Like, whatever. Like, do your
so
thing
confused.
And whatever makes you happy and get on with it was generally my reaction.
But even from his perspective, like, why? Maybe I just don't get it.
Look, he could go there and he could be first choice. I think it's possible, yeah. I think
instead of Sterling.
He was just beginning to get on the fringes with City. And I think, you know, he'd obviously scored against you in the Community Shield, which was a lovely goal.
Cheers.
He scored in the Super Cup final as well. He'd impressed, I think.
He's always looked good when he's come on as well.
Where we was looking at him now and going, yeah, he's part of the squad now. So, like, Morris has gone, and it's like, okay, he's not going to start in that position, but he's probably second or third in line now where there's going to be enough minutes for him.
I'm sure Johnny said that in Correspondent Week as well. He very much included him as part of the group, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but he's not got on the pitch in the Prem yet, right?
Yeah.
And you'd with the other, those two kind of cup finals, if you will, for want of better terms, you can call it a final because you won it, right? So claim it, yeah. he's probably, well, why am I not getting on the pitch? You know, like Foden's got a dodgy ass going to Sheffield United, like play me and stuff like that. And it might have caused that where, I don't know, something's pushed about. Obviously, also Chelsea, we have to say Chelsea, we knew were targeting a player in that position because we know that they paid the release clause for Michael Olise. So in terms of profile, there's similarities there. So it's not one of them. I didn't think, oh my God, Chelsea are buying a player. We joked last year about like left wingers and stuff.
Yeah.
We did kind of know that Chelsea wanted to buy someone in that position for the other side. So they're not hugely surprising. It fits in with their young, there'll be resale value if it goes wrong, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And they can gamble it and he can compete with Madueke / Sterling, that side, whatever. So not hugely shocked. Might become first team player. Does look a very good talent.
Yeah, he looks great. Yeah.
I'm kind of clearer on him and what his role will be defined going forward than perhaps say, as we've just mentioned, with a more experienced Matias Nunes, for example. So the thing is as well with the money, 45 million is a reported fee. He's never scored a Premier League goal. Like he does stagger, but he's just the norm now.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to buy a kid with great potential like this, you know, someone who, let's be honest, if he had a brilliant season at Chelsea, what's to say he's not in a frame for the Euros next year?
Yeah, true. And I think a lot of that is when you're buying from City, you're kind of paying for that kind of brand of their education as well now. But I don't know. I see what you're saying about it. Feels very short term from him to be thinking, okay, right now I'm not really getting on the pitch. Whereas I feel like if he's thinking a bit more long term over the course of the season, how far City will go in all competitions and where they will be challenging versus Chelsea. I don't know.
Almost rather, this is about, say Elise had gone to Chelsea. If he'd have gone to Palace, we'd have gone, he's going to Palace, he's going to play every week. That'd be great for his development. And then if he does well in 2 or 3 years, then maybe then he goes to Chelsea.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. It's like he's still got to break in and break through. And it's not like Chelsea have got additional Europa League fixtures or anything
exactly,
like that this
year.
But their squad looked quite light in terms of, say, the Carabao squad that played against Wimbledon last night.
Yeah.
So you think, surprise.
Yeah.
It's so, 5 million in FPL, by the way. Like, if he gets in.
So you, when you say you think he could be first choice, is that instead of Sterling or Sterling on the left?
I would have thought under that circumstance, either Sterling left or Sterling central.
Oh, okay.
Subject to what happens business-wise.
Yeah.
And what Chelsea do. So there's plenty of speculation. I mean, Chelsea were targeting someone else. Name escapes me. But if they got that done, then they would potentially open to the idea of letting Gallagher go again. Now, I don't think Gallagher... You know, Gallagher's been linked with us quite a lot. But I absolutely know that Conor Gallagher wants to play for Chelsea. So it would have to be... Chelsea would almost have to tell him, go.
I feel like Poch really
otherwise,
likes him.
Otherwise,
well.
He'll go, no, I'm going to fight for my place, I think.
Yeah.
So... And I don't think Chelsea are that blessed in terms of numbers. Look, he's certainly a very, very talented player. And I think, yes, he is capable of getting in that team. Cut the Burnley signings. They bought Aaron Ramsey, not the one that used to play for you. And Hannes Delcroix, the left back from Anderlecht. They very much needed a left back. Can't say I know too much about him. Ramsey's obviously younger brother of Jacob, who's a super talent.
Yeah.
There are some in some, depending on where you read, some think that Aaron will go on to be the better player.
Really? Wow.
And some think quite the opposite.
So because
it depends where you look.
When you say quite the opposite, as in they just think he's dog or just...
Well, Villa look like they've done deals for Ramsey, and we can also kind of mention Cameron Archer a part of this as well, where there's relatively sensible buyback options, I believe. So the fees aren't massive in terms of the sales, say in comparison to Palmer. But if they want to go and buy these players back, it will be a very fair price if these players do well for Burnley and Sheffield United, respectively. That's the understanding.
What's his like profile? Is he similar to his brother? Or so I don't really know too much about him other than he was a Borough and Norwich. That was it.
From what I know, not too dissimilar.
Okay.
From what I know.
Because I really like
Jacob's
Ramsey.
A real powerful player, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like when he gets kind of a running stride in the yard, he looks like quite powerful, almost like he's older than his age and stuff. I don't get that vibe with Aaron.
Sure. Okay.
Cameron Archer is everyone's new favourite, 4.5 million forward, but until they remember that actually it's a Sheffield United player. there are unfortunately always going to be Rhian Brewster comparisons you're going to hear in the next couple of weeks, because it does have that vibe of, oh my God, start letting England under 21 set up, goes to Sheffield United to become lead marksman, and Rhian Brewster didn't score for about 3 years.
No,
I don't think
that, I still can't get over how bad that move was for him.
Dan Lord said it straight away at the time. He said, I'm not happy that he's going there. Yeah. He said he thought it was a really bad move for his career. And it's proved out. I've not heard Lee Jackson say this is a desperately bad move for Cameron Archer. Very talented player. Really like him. Good in and around the box. Good movement. I mean, he's kind of what Sheffield United won, although you could make a case that maybe they should have been looking for something more experienced.
Yeah.
At this level, because it comes with an unknown, right? If he's going to end up playing every week, is he ready? None of us know.
No.
None of us know. How many kids have we seen playing the under-21s over the years? You've gone, he's great. And then
doesn't quite
get to first team level.
Well, Brewster.
Brewster is the example, isn't he?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. What's happened there? Shoot, mate.
I was just going to say, I think the difference with Archer is he's got that kind of power to him that I don't know. I can see him looking after himself as a starting centre forward in the Premier League. I think whenever he's come on, like you said, his movement is really good. And I don't know, he just looks like he's strong and can hold his own as well.
They've also bought Luke Thomas. They've got problems in the left wing back area. I like Angus's comment that responded to Tomo earlier, which was, mate, left back maybe, not a left wing back. And I know Leicester fans were pretty vexed with some of his performances last season. Fits a problem.
Yeah.
Signing, whether he's good enough is...
It's weird, though, because when he first started out, everyone was raving. Okay, raving might be a stretch, but no, I think people were raving. He started off all right.
He did come into the team when he had a few injury problems and did perform pretty well under Brendan Rodgers. Yes, didn't have a good season last year, as many didn't for Leicester, in fairness. But yeah, they were quite happy to... They've let him go on the loan.
Yeah.
So they were quite happy to move him on by the sounds of it. He does fix a problem. He probably will play quite regularly. FPL price probably expect to be 4.5, I should imagine. Mohamed Kudus, Clayton.
What a signing.
What a... Is he? Where does he play? What's he going to be?
I don't know. I think he's so versatile, right? Like he can play 10. He can play up top. He can play on the wing. I'm sure he can play in the 8. He's definitely going to start for West Ham. He'll be no doubt in my mind. I'm just not really sure where right now.
Exactly that. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. Because he's not replacing Bowen, or. Is it the Salah domino effect? he's not replacing Bowen.
He's not replacing Paquetá.
No.
I presume Antonio's staying at the moment.
That's a mate. Yeah, could he? Oh, fuck knows. Honestly, it's a headache. I'm just going to kind of worry about it. I'm just going to enjoy watching him as a footballer and worry about where he fits in later.
I'm fascinated to see where he fits in because I don't know where the answer is, actually.
No.
I think he could end up as the number 9. Could
that's
end up
kind
10,
of where I'm leading
could
right
end up
now.
Playing wide, if you look at his profile of where he's played historically, the one position he doesn't tend to turn up is left wing.
Yeah,
and you could make a case that he goes in instead of Ben Rama as an example. Yeah. So I'm not sure yet. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Do you think there's any way they move towards like more of a midfield 3, like 2 8s? Paqueta not playing traditionally as a 10.
But if they do that, like basically they did at Brighton on Saturday, then where does he go in ahead of Paquetá, Ward-Prowse and Alvarez? Because Alvarez is going to be the absolute sitter in now.
Yeah.
He's the anchor.
True. I think it's just one of, I think they've spent this Rice money so incredibly well. I feel like they've raised the technical floor of the team. And I'm not saying they were a one-man team, but Rice was a big influence there, and I just feel like now they're so well rounded and balanced. And I think this recruitment has been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think they've spent quite well. I don't think they've overpaid for anything that they've
Me
bought.
Either.
The valuation on Kudus seems fine. We had a conversation on Tottenham yesterday where Such made a comment that he thought he would walk into like a United or Liverpool. So I threw the comment back and said, "Well, why are they not buying him then?"
Well, you say that we were linked with him. And...
So why didn't you buy him?
I don't know.
Why didn't you buy him for 20 million cheaper than Havertz?
Yeah. I feel like that's
you
one
can answer that in your own time, privately, perhaps on Tottenham Arse next week.
I'll do that at the end of the season. I think I may have jumped the gun on my Kai Havertz propaganda. I think he's so good. And I'm quite excited to see where he ends up because I think he will at some point be an FPL option as well.
Good price as well.
Yeah, really good price.
So, very much one to keep an eye on. Everton have a forward party, celebrate. Beto bought from Udinese.
He scored at his debut as well.
Beto be better than what they've got is all I can say.
Jesus Christ.
I thank you very much. I watched the last half hour of that last night. To be honest, I put it on at 60 minutes and I fell asleep at 65. That's how good it was. You know when you fall asleep and you jolt yourself?
Yeah.
It's one of them. Like I'm falling out of the aeroplane or something. It was one of them. And I was like, well, fuck's that? Oh, yeah, Everton are playing. But I watched it. He's quick and he's decent in the air. He's a big lad. He scored a decent
goal.
I mean, the goalkeeper's positioning is pretty bad.
His movement and pace for the goal was good.
And he hit the post with a header as well, really late on. So, Yeah, he's got a bit about him. I mean, look, Everton needed something as clear as day. Like, Neil Maupay is nobody's answer to anybody's question.
And you can't rely on Calvert-Lewin anymore by the looks of it. Yeah,
and exactly that. And do you know what? If Calvert-Lewin's in a good place and this guy is fit, expect to see 4-4-2 on an occasion from Everton under Sean Dyche, if Sean Dyche makes it through long enough, which I imagine he will do.
He scored back-to-back campaigns of double-digit league goals as well, so...
And that's in Serie A, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's 10 and 11. So, yeah.
The problem with them is who's providing as well, right?
Yeah.
So you almost move on now. You go, right, so if Calvert-Lewin a better fit, them two as a front two, and you suddenly think about it, you think, fuck yeah, he's probably scored goals between them. Who's going to create for him?
Yeah, I know.
He's now the next question, and I don't think they're probably going to add anything more, but that was a must. They had this problem last year, and it was like, you've got to do something. Get something in because you can't have the burden of Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
This is probably the answer I would suggest. Whether it be good enough, time will tell.
He's right. Definitely bagging against us in a couple of weeks, like no doubt in my mind.
I hope so, Princess. right, couple of keepers. So Dean Henderson, we think he's going to Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Which means that Atlay Bayinda will go in as Manchester United's new number two. No, I don't know anything about him. He's obviously not.
I've got one little stat I'd like to chuck in on this new geezer going to Man United.
Go on in.
He's got a worse save percentage than Alex Runason in the Turkish league.
That's concerning.
That Runason, I think, is one of the worst keepers I've seen at Arsenal. And we've had a few.
Do you want to list them?
Just while we're on it. No, it's all right. It's all good. I'm trying to enjoy my life at the minute.
Okay, mate. Henderson, Palace. Yeah. I don't think he's better than Sam Johnson.
That's what I was going to ask because I'm not really sure where I'm at on it.
But he ain't moving. It's the same conversation we'd have had about Turner. It's like he ain't moving not to go and be number one.
Yeah.
But then Johnston went there last year and he weren't going there not to be number one. And it took a while to get in. And I wonder if this might be similar.
Is it just one where it's more of, like, I feel like as football fans, we're so short-term in our thinking that is it just a strategic thing where, like, I know 30's not old, but Johnston's 30 and they've signed Henderson knowing that he's going to be their number one for kind of 5-6 years. Well, I don't even know how long the contract is, but it's one of those, you get it now while he's available, knowing that you've got that grace period to kind of integrate him.
Maybe, because Gator was faffing about and stuff. Palace obviously had to get another goalkeeper. That's unquestionable. I did a piece recently on, I think on one of the streams, someone said, what teams do you think Henderson gets into Premier League? And I looked through the list and it was like, I'm not sure I can tell you anyone.
Wow.
Was genuinely my opinion.
Yeah,
say, like, if he goes there, does he become number one? And I was looking through all of them going, nope. I don't think he's great at all, actually.
Mate, me too. And even when he was at Sheffield United, I wasn't as impressed as everyone else seemed to be. I feel like he's one that everyone is still kind of raving off what he potentially was going to be 4 or 5 years ago, rather than the reality of what he kind of is right now. Like, he's 25 now. That's not a baby.
No, he's not. When I say he's not great, let me clarify to say I don't think he's bad.
Yeah, no,
same. I just don't think he's great.
No, me either.
Like, if he plays in goal for Palace, it's fine. Like, Palace aren't in trouble with that. Like, he's not a bad goalkeeper. I just don't think he's great.
Yeah.
And I do think there is a little reputational thing, I think, primarily because of an excellent year he had with Sheffield United, which is now, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, and like I say, even that year, I wasn't as sold as everyone else. And I guess a lot of it was he's impressed in the England youth setup. And then, yeah, like you say, reputation and PR being Man United's kind of darling coming through the ranks. So,
what do you know about Andre Santos, who's gone on loan to Nottingham Forest from Chelsea? They're a bit light in the midfield area, and they've obviously added, and it suits Chelsea to have loans. I think Chelsea, I see, have only allowed one more overseas loan, I think I've seen.
Wow.
Which might be something to watch out for now that
Kukure
deal has been completed.
Yeah, Kukure was being linked with loan moves, right? So,
primarily to Manchester United. And the latest was that they're seriously going in for Sergio Reguilón now.
Is it? I've not seen that.
Yeah. That makes sense that United won a loan because, sure, we think might be out till sort of Christmas.
I think Ten Hag's talent identification is a little bit suspect. I really do. But yeah.
Go on, elaborate while you're there, mate.
Well, I just, like we spoke about Antony on a previous transfer show. I don't think he's a title challenging winger. I think he's far too predictable, not really got enough variety to his game. I think I look at the composition of the midfield that he's gone for profile-wise, and I said it in the summer, a midfield of Casemiro, Bruno Mount, in my opinion, would just never work. There's someone else I was thinking of where I was just like a bit odd. What you've mentioned about Cucurella, Reguilón, I get it, it's because of Shaw's injury and Malacia's injury, but I just feel like I never look at any of the profiles as, oh, that's unbelievable fit sort of thing. I don't know. I think it's very meh what they do. Okay. I think Onana's a great buy, but
we'll come back to Forest.
I just clocked why you've asked me this as well, because of Sunday's fixture. Mount's going to score, Bruno's
you probably won't think that when you watch Talking Tactics later today, mate. But we'll come back to Forest then, because while we're doing it, Sophie and Amrabat, I think this deal will happen. Loan. There's rumours of a 1 million loan offer. It can't be real, surely.
Oh, no, bloody hell.
But the word is that Fiorentina might be happy to a loan with, as long as it's got the obligation on the end, which will get people around FFP concerns. And there might be some at Manchester United. Remember, they did pay a £300,000 fine in the summer, which is small change, but you don't want to get another charge because it won't be £300,000 next time. So Amrabat certainly solves potential problems in there, because Casemiro is getting pulled all over the shop.
I think that's more of a profile that works for the dynamics of a midfield three, to be honest. He's pretty good on the defensive side, winning the ball. And
do you think Casemiro would play further forward? Because it's felt like they're moving more to a 4-1-4-1.
Yeah, maybe. I hadn't really thought of that, to be honest. Is that where you think it will head towards then?
Well, I think Amrabat is absolute natural anchor. Yeah. And very underrated in terms of his ball skills on the ball as well.
Yeah.
I think we saw that in the Conference League final.
Yeah. Do you think he is? Like, I've always, from the people I've followed who tweet about him and stuff, they all seem to really rave about his passing and ball progression and even carrying as well. So I kind of had him highly rated on the ball. But
yeah, I think in the World Cup, we saw a lot of this brilliant breakup play, right? And he just kind of stood his ground and was firm protecting that back line for Morocco. There was the famous run in the semi-final where he goes chasing Mbappe and actually wins it off him and stuff. Blinded, fully committed player. But obviously in the research I'd done prior to the Conference League final, looking at Fiorentina, you're like, they're a ball-dominant team. They're like the third-best team in Serie A for possession. And it goes through him. Yeah. He goes and picks it up off the back four and dictates the play and stuff. So, like, he can be that player. Would you have him as a higher eight? Don't think so.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
It almost feels like Casemiro would be more suitable to that role, arguably.
Yeah,
that's how they want to go. But I would just look at it and go, right, this is going to be 4-2-3-1. This is your solution. And then you work with it from there. But what we'd thought was that they wanted to go 4-1-4-1. It is also possible that he's looked at the first few games and gone, Jesus Christ, we're getting done over so badly in central areas here. Maybe got to be a double pivot. Yes, possibly. Yes, Scott McTominay should play on Sunday at the Emirates because they'll be in trouble otherwise.
What's the latest on him? Is he staying?
I would have thought yes at the moment.
Yeah, because it looked like he was out the door last week, but not.
Whether they'd let
him
go somewhere late if Amrabat gets done, maybe.
Yeah,
but they can't let him go at the moment.
No way.
I don't think. Okay. Right, back to Forest. Andre Santos gone on loan from Chelsea.
I don't know too much about him, to be honest. Literally just high level stats I've read in articles. So he scored 8 in 33 when Vasco got promoted in 2022. He kept quite impressively captained Brazil in their South America Under-20 championship and was actually joint top scorer in that tournament as well. But that's it. Like, that's literally adding no insight or value. I literally couldn't tell you much about him.
Yeah, I saw some bits of him in pre-season. I'll be honest, didn't stand out.
No, okay.
From what I saw, quite bitey in the tackle, get stuck in and stuff. Ball progression limited was my brief assessment on little bits I'd seen in pre-season.
What position looks the most natural for him then?
A deeper midfield position, which, to be honest, if you play central midfield for Nottingham Forest, you're on the edge of your own fucking box anyway. So, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Brennan Johnson.
Yeah, what? So you've been linked with him. What do you think of him?
I'm more interested in your opinion first, because I already said mine on stream earlier.
Okay, so I've not heard what you said. But I don't get the demand for him, personally. I think he's pretty average, if I'm being completely honest.
He's 22, so there's scope for progress.
Yeah.
But yes, my opinion is... I'm not convinced at all.
I don't.
I'm not sitting here like crossing my fingers and toes and thinking, oh fucking hell, Brady, we get him. Like, if he comes in, cool. Let's see. If he doesn't, I'm not bothered.
I think it's kind of my take. To your point, where he's only 22, I don't really see a huge ceiling though. Like, I don't look at this guy and think, yeah, he can be scoped and molded into this top tier talent sort of thing. I don't get it, personally.
What he does have is the ability to play several different positions. So he would offer a cover through the middle for Richarlison.
But at what level of quality?
Or might even be better than Richarlison. and I think probably offers a more direct competition to Kulusevski of something that's very different in that position.
Which I'd say you need as well, yeah.
It's worth saying as well that Manus Solomon, I think on what I've seen, is better off the left than the right. Sure, and obviously you've got Perisic is definitely better off the left than the right.
Yeah.
And they're obviously both behind Son. So at the moment, it probably would be that Solomon would play on the right. Now, if something happened to Kulusevski under this circumstance, I'm pretty sure that Johnson would probably just play out there. So from that position, you could look at it that way and say, right, the right-hand forward position for Tottenham's a bit of a blind spot in terms of depth at the moment. Not that it's desperate, because I think you could even push Porro there, right, and play Emerson from right back. There's things you could do where it's not like a dramatic problem, but it certainly gives better depth in that area and something very different, because Kulusevski, for some of his brilliant technical qualities, and can still beat a man, he's not quick as. No. And that's what Ange wants, really.
Yeah.
Ange wants his wide players to be quick as fuck. And I think it's also looking ahead at, yeah, okay, that's a bit of pressure on Richarlison. And maybe Richarlison needs to feel that pressure as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, possibly, though, because I take the point on versatility, but I don't think there's a point in getting someone that's versatile but won't necessarily give you the level of quality you need in those areas. Because like, if he's someone that can do a 6 out of 10 job at right wing, centre forward, then is that good enough? Like, is that kind of what you want?
Thing is as well, though, if look at
Akudis, for example.
It's a money thing, and we have to forget about it. Tottenham have a homegrown problem, so that's part why this sort of target comes around. They're light of a number, offensively. They obviously want to invest in young now rather than more experienced players. It's not desperate in the sense it's not got to be someone who has to go into the team straight away. If we were getting him for 20 million... You'd probably go,
no one would be back.
That adds good squad depth.
100%.
You've almost like, it's a little bit like with Cole Palmer as well. You've got to say, well, this is what the two clubs are talking about doing from a transfer perspective. That's what it is. Get on with it. Because Forest aren't going to sell him for 20 mil, are they?
No. I think that, I don't know how to articulate this properly. I just feel, you know how I said with West Ham, I feel like they've raised the technical level of the squad and like the floor of that. I don't feel like Brennan Johnson shifts any needle in terms of squad building perspective.
No, but one key point I would add as well, where I think it's very difficult to analyse and say, and we don't even know if this deal is going to go through. The current reporting is that the two clubs are quite a way away on.
Who's the other club that was linked with it? Because it was
Chelsea,
and
isn't it?
Is it Chelsea?
And Brentford.
Oh, Brentford, that was the one that escaped my mind,
We think... There's a thought within the Tottenham community that Brentford might be part of driving this price up rather than actually having interest.
Sure.
Because they probably know that if Johnson's got the choice, he'd probably choose Tottenham. Yeah. Chelsea lurking. Obviously, if Palmer's going, I guess Chelsea are out of that now.
Yeah, you'd think so. I'd never say never.
Exactly. Who fucking knows? Maybe they'll pay 60 million. So what I would say about Johnson, which I think is important to say, we've seen him play for Wales, we've seen him play for Forest.
Yeah.
So primarily, certainly in the top level, we've only seen him play in basically teams who don't have the ball a lot.
Yeah, good point.
He's going to join a team that will have the ball a lot. How that equates?
Yeah, really good
point. I have
no
idea. I think he would excel.
Yeah, it's true.
I have no idea.
No, that's a really good point.
And so, therefore, it's one, like, if he comes in great,
yeah,
if it doesn't happen, I'm not bothered, is my take. It'll this view it, it could be shrewd. I don't know. It smells a bit like Richarlison to me, if I'm totally honest. He's much more likable bloke, Brennan Johnson, by the way, from what I can tell. That kind of giving another Premier League club a shitload of money for a player that's not an automatic first choice smells of exactly what we did with Richarlison last year. Exactly that. Timothy Castagne has joined, Fulham, which I think is a really clever signing, actually.
I do as well.
Purely because the two fullbacks, Robinson and Tete, are so far ahead of the competition in terms of left back and right back, and we know that he can play both.
Yeah, and like at his peak at Leicester, but do you remember it was like him and Ricardo on the other week? They were just a joy when they were kind of on it, and Leicester were actually doing well. I think he's a very fun player. I'm not sure he's that good defensively, but in terms of going forward, I think he's good signing. Yeah,
I think it's a clever one. Like I said, that clubs like that almost. You'll end up with it. So say like Fulham last year ended up with like Kazawa's backup for Robinson, who's no option, right? And ended up with Cedric from you for a bit as cover for Tete. And they were not options.
Cedric's birthday today. Happy birthday, Mikey.
Happy birthday, Cedric Suarez. They were just not options to be competitive. Like I remember Cedric played a game last year for Fulham and it almost felt like Silva was playing him as like some sort of justification of that he came in on loan.
Yeah.
You needed cover there. Castagne offers both at the same time.
At a good enough level.
I don't
think
he'll push Robinson. He might push Tete.
Okay.
But Anthony Robinson was really good for Fulham.
Yeah. So is that more because you think Castagne is better on the right or because Robinson is that good on the left or both?
I really like Anthony Robinson. And I think Tete goes through patches where he looks really good for a month. And then concentration or something happens and he doesn't look quite so good for a month. Like his performance at Chelsea in January, February was one of the best right back performances you'll see all season last year, both offensively and defensively. And then in other games, I'm just thinking, you're not there. Like, what's going on? So I think Castagne will push Tete more. I think Robinson has more consistency. I like him actually. Talking of which, it just reminded me of my annoyance with people getting annoyed about England squad. Like, Maguire was always going to be in the squad, Keith. I'm telling you. Like, Stones is injured. Others are injured.
And Ketia got a call up as well.
That's annoyed people as well, right? But Gareth knows what Ollie Watkins is all about, right? He wants to obviously have a look at Nketiah. It's all right. I am annoyed that Rico Henry's not in the squad, though.
Yeah. Are you going to do it?
With Luke Shaw's injury.
I'll be honest, I've not actually seen the full squad. I just saw
purely
like...
as well. We would fucking trust that Chilwell will be
so
fit
who's the left
back
then?
It's just Chilwell.
Oh, it's just Chilwell.
He'll play Trippier there if he has to, won't he?
Yeah, true.
And move Trent right back or something. So, yeah, I'm annoyed that Rico Henry's not in the squad. Anyway, that's nothing to do with this. What year, Clayton, will Carlos Baleba win the Ballon d'Or?
Next year, mate.
Yeah?
Mate, he's okay. He started 16 year games.
So it might be 2 years before he wins the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
But... Right. Who is he? I know nothing, so I'm relying on you completely here.
Oh, I was going to play the Uno reverse card there. literally, all I know is he made his debut for Lille literally not too long ago. He's made 21 senior appearances. And that's all I know. I mean, he must be good at playing chicken. He's a midfielder. So I'm imagining he's very good at playing chicken. Do you know what I would genuinely love to know? How do they find these people? He's so limited in terms of data you can find on him. And, six starts, 21 senior appearances. Like, it must be a data-driven signing.
They'll pay for the data, won't they?
Of course, but just more... Like, I'd love to see the process behind this, because I really rate Brighton's recruitment, and I'd love to get the insight
Right to Tony Bloom.
Hi, Tony. Do you want to sponsor the pod, mate?
Yeah, it would be a gambling company, Clayton. It's probably not a good idea. You haven't thought this through, have you?
Nah,
ask him, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm fascinated. And I think it's one of those. They've built up so much credit in the bank that I'm just kind of like, yeah, he's going to be a success. No real doubt in my mind. And I don't know anything about the bloke, but... I'm intrigued.
Is he a midfield player?
He's a midfielder, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if he's like an eight, a holding mid, but yeah, he's a midfielder.
All right. So Chelsea fans, if you want to do some of your own investigations before you sign him in a couple of years, off you go, because Clayton's not done a lot. Ansu Fati.
Wait, what are you going to say about him?
Nothing. I've been busy with other shit. Ansu Fati is a really interesting one. So we think that's happening. I believe he's in England now.
Yeah.
What and the medical's going to happen. And there'll probably be an announcement before the end of the day.
Am I right in saying, so I was out last night, but I've got a lot of Tottenham friends, and I saw lots of rumours and different anger and, yeah. Were you linked with, what was going on?
Yeah, something happened really quickly last night. It spiraled really quickly within a couple of hours last night, where it was Tottenham, the ITKs were saying, like, yeah, there's definitely talks happening with Barcelona for him.
Was this before Brighton?
Over a potential loan, yeah.
Okay.
And then within 2 hours, it was, he's going to Brighton.
Oh, wow.
I have no disappointment on that whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah. Pure, he's obviously a very talented player. You don't get given Messi's shirt if you're shit, right?
No.
It's obviously a footballer there.
Is it more because of what you said about the left side?
If Tottenham were going to take him on loan like they've done with Porro, Kulusevski, and at the end of the year, because it's to get around FFP, they're buying the player for 30, 40 million. Yeah, great, wicked, sign me up, etc. Tottenham are getting him in on a loan with nothing, no control over what was going to happen at the end of the process. I'm not interested now in having that sort of thing.
Yeah,
Tottenham did a similar deal with Clement Longley, we're talking about in a second.
Yeah.
Took Clement Longley from Barcelona with no obligation or nothing, but it filled a hole that had to be filled because Tottenham couldn't get what they wanted for Antonio Conte, right?
Yeah.
And it was a short time at work because, remember, we kind of half knew that Antonio Conte wouldn't be here right now. So there's something for you. Ange will be here in 12 months. So I don't want him to have a footballer for 12 months and then have to go and get something else.
Yeah,
like,
fair.
Like, go and get an even younger profile or wait for something rather than wasting your time on something that, to be honest, does he walk in the Tottenham team?
Oh, no. No way.
So, like, what's the point?
Is he any good off the right? I'll be honest, I don't really know.
Whereas for Brighton, I think it makes complete sense. Because they've just lost Nciso for months on end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right?
So in terms of replacing the profile of bodies, because you're suddenly looking at them and going, right, so Lallana could cover that position because it's kind of false nine with them rather than nines. So he could play that dropping in like McAllister did quite a lot last year. Otherwise, it's Welbeck, who's injury prone as fuck.
Yeah.
And João Pedro is kind of, to be honest, still unproven at this level. And Ferguson, as much as we rate him, is still a young boy as well.
Yeah.
Right, he wants something else in there. It needs another body. So for them, it makes complete sense. For us, I didn't think it did.
Is he?
I don't want Tottenham to buy to get people on loan unless it's like definitive at the end. Stop all this shit.
Yeah,
short termism. Think longer term now with a new manager coming in.
Yeah, which I think you are, for what it's worth. But from your recruitment.
Well, no, I didn't think that when at 6 o'clock last night it looked like we were signing him.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's the only one this summer that has kind of looked that way. I think overall, everything else has been pretty good from you guys. But in terms of Fati, though, is he predominantly left or right wing? Well, like, I know he can play off both, but what's his stronger one?
I don't think they need massive cover in the wide areas in the sense that Simon Adingra is obviously a super talent as well, and they've got, obviously, Facundo Buonanotte as well.
Look at you, cultured with your pronunciation.
Listen,
that was class.
I'm nearly on first name terms with everybody at Brighton. I think he could play as a nine as well in this system for Brighton.
I think that
covers a lot of bases. I think and Siso was that as well.
Yeah,
you could play in Siso left, you could play him right. So profile wise, I completely get it and think it's a good sensible addition for Brighton, because what Brighton don't want to do with that, then it's different to Tottenham. Brighton wouldn't want to go, all right, let's pay 50 million for him now, and then he's great, and then Siso's blocked in a year's time, right?
Yeah.
But have given him time, because he was so good at Wolves, mate. He's top talent. Gutted for him and Siso. What a good player.
Yeah.
Right, final line, because I've already mentioned him, Clement Longley.
Tottenham legend.
Tottenham legend, yeah.
What do you think of it?
Scorer a brilliant equalising goal in Champions League at Marseille last year in another game. I have no idea how we won, but won. Alex, we should have been about 3-0 down at half time. And your old boy, Saïd Kolasinac, what a miss. Anyway, he's going to Villa. And this feels exactly like how he went to Tottenham last year.
Yeah.
In the sense that Antonio Conte, as I said, couldn't get what he wanted. Now with Villa, they've obviously lost Tyrone Ming for a year.
For what it's worth, I do. Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense.
It's the same thing. Go and cover at Villa for Tyrone Mings for a year, because what a same thing. Villa have already invested in Pau Torres.
Yep.
And it was looking like it was either going to be either or sometimes they'll play together depending on their setup with the fullbacks and stuff. Mings has obviously got injured. You're looking at it now and going, if don't get another left footer in, if they want to slant it where they have Matty Cash roar on from right back, for example, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's off the table. So Longley could play that.
Yeah.
I feel like about it. So I just think it's a sensible, competitive alternative.
Agreed.
I think he got slated massively by Tottenham fans. I think Tottenham fans didn't feel a connect with him because they knew it was loan and it was like, well, don't pay silly money for him and stuff like that. But as like a backup left-sided centre-back, I think it's fine. I think it's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah,
honestly, I don't think he's a bad player. I don't think he's a great player, but I don't think he's a bad player at all. And I think that just covers nicely for Tyrone Mings for Villa.
Yeah. It's fine. I feel like all of Villa's recruitment just seems really smart, sensible, strategic. Like every profile seems to make sense.
It's clear that if Mings hadn't got that injury, they would not have done that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, flip side is they've reacted quite smartly to the injury. So
yeah, I think that works. I think he's all right, by the way. Like, I don't think...
Yeah, what's your verdict on him then?
I think he's fine.
Sure.
He's fine. Like, he's experienced. He's played at the top level with international and obviously in Champions League and stuff. I don't think he's bad at all. I think he's a decent centre-back.
Yeah.
To be totally honest. I think he's fine. And it's natural, obviously, as a left-footed as well in terms of fitting in there. He never really got the chance to play the central centre-back position for us. It was always kind of left-sided centre-back. And it's so functional the way we played and stuff. So in terms of his variety on the ball, I didn't get the chance to see as much.
Yeah.
He might look a very different player now if he played for Ange. I've no idea. He's probably not quick enough on the turn to play for
Ange,
for example.
I was just going to ask, but even off the ball, because I didn't see Villa this weekend, but what game was it where they tried the high line? And
well, they play it every game, mate. So, yes, there will be question marks on that because I've obviously only seen him play for Tottenham without that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
That's the transfer window show. Cheers, Clates.
Boom. All right. Just before we go, who's your wild card big money move tomorrow? Deadline day.
Levi Colwill to Arsenal.
You're sticking with that. You said that a couple of weeks ago.
It, yeah.
So you think Gabriel's going to
Saudi? Absolutely. Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair play.
I can't give you anything more random than that because that's like
never been linked
or nothing.
Yeah. Fuck me if that happens. Clip that shit up.
It will be. All right. What's yours then?
I kind of regret asking the question because nothing's really coming to mind for me.
Well, that was silly, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to say, fuck it, I'll stick with Arsenal. I think Arsenal will pull a rabbit out of the hat. We're going to get like another wide forward. I feel like the skeezer Lionel Messi's had enough in the MLS. He might turn up in N5.
What Clayton said was Brennan Johnson to Arsenal. By the way, if you've not seen Messi's goal for Inter Miami the other night, which is a tap-in, admittedly, but the pass that he plays for this 1-2 is unreal.
I've watched
this goal about 50 times over and over on my phone. This pass he plays. He's faced with a line in front of him. And he plays the ball almost like a toe poke with the outside of his foot into an angle that you, even watching it on the TV, you can't even dream it, mate.
I'm going to go
and
watch
and
it.
Then he's already off for the return and he gets it back and rolls it in.
I'm loving the clips of him in that league because you can tell he's just light years mentally ahead of everyone. Like, it's a fucking joy to watch.
It's not fair.
It's not fair at all. It's like it's like playing your six-year-old cousin on FIFA sort of thing. It is good fun.
It's nice to see him enjoying it, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Right, that's it for the Transfer Window show.
Bosh.
Suj is back with me for the Diff show tomorrow. Lots of love. Good luck to your football club.
Wait, did you say Suj is back with you tomorrow? You need to stop with this casual racism.
Sudge's not back with me tomorrow. It's the other guy who looks nothing like him. Clayton's back with me for the dip show tomorrow. Get prepared.
Where's HR?
Do a proper job. Right, love you lots. Cue music, please, man show.
Fantasy Football Show.